good afternoon. Thank you. Good afternoon. It's 12:10. Close enough. Chris Bensel, Superintendent of Schools in Christian County Public Schools. I want to say thank you for allowing us to come up to you. Thank you, Carter and Mr. Conrad, for allowing us to speak. About 3 months ago, we got a call from the ag business world, and they were really interested in where the project is going for the new high school and what we're doing. And it kind of steamrolled from there. It kind of made sense that we haven't really talked about a lot of things going on with the high school construction project and where we're at, how it's going. So some of you might have heard this presentation before. Some of you, this might be your first time. What we try to do is adjust the presentation based upon feedback each time we give it. So this will be a lot different than the ag business one we gave back in October. Because we feel it's really important that the community knows what's going to come in the fall of 2026. Yes, it'll be a nice building, but what's most important is what we're doing for kids inside the building with the high school and with our students. And it's really more of a transformation of the high school educational process. So we brought with us Dr. Jason Wilson. He's kind of leading the facilities plan right now. And really, he's out at the site a lot on a weekly basis, coordinating with Alliance of Construction Management. He's going to give you kind of a brief synopsis of the last year on the operations construction side, a 5 to 6 minute presentation on that, update on that. But the real key is what we're doing for students and the outcome for our community, for workforce, for Economic Development Council, and how that plays into your world and how it associates with what we're going to do for community as a whole. So we're really excited about that. And that's going to be Ms. Jessica Addison, our Assistant Superintendent of Instruction, giving that presentation. We also have Sandra Hancock of the school system. She attends a lot of these EDC meetings. She's our workforce liaison. And we have two students in the back, two high school seniors from Hopkins Hill High School. I call him DC. I had to ask what his real name was because I always give him a nickname. It's Devin Coleman is a senior from Hopkins Hill High School and Kylie Bass. And they're Christian County Public Schools ambassadors. And what that is they symbolize and represent our school system from a student perspective. And that's really critical in what we'll talk about with some of the student outcomes, student services that we'll have, because our new school will have ambassadors for that program. And we're starting that process now. So throughout the conversation or the presentation, you may have questions, and I'm sure they can give you some answers from their student perspective, because our business is kids. We always want kids at the forefront. So without any further ado, I'm going to let Dr. Wilson kind of walk you through where we've been construction-wise and where we're heading. We're really excited to present to the EDC today, and we thank you for this time. Dr. Wilson.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm going to take a few minutes and just kind of share with you guys the physical plant and structure of the building and where we are in progress, and then I will try to make that quick and turn it over to Ms. Addison so that she can share with you guys the nuts and bolts of what we're going to do inside that building. So over the last year to 2 years, we have worked through the plan to build a consolidated high school. This is just a brief timeline. In August of 21, the board voted to consolidate schools. We bought land in November, and we began that planning process. The process to consolidate schools was done based on research and planning and travel throughout to look at what would best serve our students. And so, this is the site that we purchased. Fort Campbell Boulevard is at the top of the picture here on the right. You can see Murray's Regional Campus. You can see Panera Bread, TJ Maxx Shopping Center over here. But the good picture, the picture that gets me excited, is this one here. That picture was taken on the 20th, so the day before we got out for Thanksgiving break. If you look at that picture, what that shows you is we had the entire building pad complete for the footprint of the school. So it shows you the footprint of the new school, how it's oriented on the property. If you look at that picture, on the left-hand side you have 41, so you can kind of see the orientation. The picture that's in your forefront here, there's not as much going on here. This is the wings that don't have as much going on yet. But in these sides, we actually have walls going up. We're at the point now, we're waiting on, we're getting close to the point we're going to be able to start pouring the slab floors, putting on joists and going up, pouring the second floor, especially our Ag Academy wing. So As you guys know, we had unfavorable bids back in July of 22. Almost exactly to the day, year later, we got favorable bids. Those bids came in at $196 million. We had to do a lot of work over that next year in order to get that into a project that we could physically, financially handle here as a school system. One of the ways we did that was going into an agreement and going with a construction manager over a general contractor. And many of you in this room have built houses, built businesses, built other things. There's different ways to do that. We're acting as a general contractor ourselves and working with Alliance as our construction manager and working with subs versus getting a single bid from a general contractor that handled all of that for us. This is just some of the things that allowed us to cut down on the cost of the bids that we received. One of the biggest things we did was a reduction in space. The reason we were able to reduce some of the space in the building is not because we necessarily reduced capacity and got below what we needed, but we have to follow rules and regulations from Kentucky Department of Education that tell us how you're going to build a building. Basically, you're given a student. We have our student population, and then we have to follow the model schools program that says for this many students, you have this much space. What we were trying to do is we're trying to build a general school as well as our CTE incorporated in one building. That has not been done in one high school in the state of Kentucky. So initially when we went out for bid, we had to build space for CTE and we had to build space for the regular classroom. If I'm in both of those programs, I can't be in the same place at the same time, but I had to account for students being in two places at one time because of the way the model was written. House Bill 678 came out, did away with a lot of the some of the regulations and some of the red tape that we had to go through, which allowed us to go back to KDE, and we presented the idea of not counting students twice, but counting them one time, which allowed us to reduce the square footage of the building. In reducing that square footage, we were able to cut out about 50,000 square feet. That did not reduce, it did reduce our capacity some, but it wasn't significant. In our initial plans, even though we were building a building for 2,500 students, we physically could have fit about 3,500 students in that building to 4,000 because of the way KDE counts space that you can put students. When we do a building capacity, that's different than the actual DFP capacity that KDE uses. Building capacity is the number of people we can fit inside this room. KDE says, well, this room is so many square feet, you can only have 25 students in that room. Well, they don't account for the fact that I might have a smaller room over here to the side, or I have a gym, or that I have a library, I have different places like that. We don't get to count that necessarily into our DFP capacity. So we didn't reduce our capacity in the building significantly. We can still have room for growth. We still have plenty of space for the students we have here in Christian County. Some of the examples of the way we reduced bids, our site grading package came in at roughly $16 million the first time. Right now, our site grading package came in just under $3 million. You combine that with our asphalt bid, which was a little over $3 million, and the total package was right around $6 million. That's a $10 million reduction. Some of the trades that we're working with, A&K has general trades in concrete. They've had plenty of people on site already as we've poured footers and moving forward. Sean Jones Masonry, those guys are driving the project right now because if you've ever built a building, once the masons get on site, they start telling you, we're laying block here, and you got to get ready. And so they've kind of driven us and pushed us forward and got us moving in a good direction pretty quickly. State Electric, they've been working with us pretty close. Another example of us reducing cost was we put out packages for bid with a construction manager. We gave the options to combine bids together and people to bid on multiple packages, where with a general contractor, they go out, they receive a bid, and then it comes back. Penn and Sons came in at $25 million for plumbing and HVAC. The original general contractor bid under that was $55. So that was another large section that we were able to reduce the overall cost of the project. So here I was talking capacity. We have room within the four academy wings, and we've got renderings up here where you can kind of see things. I've got pictures that are coming later on the slide. We can hold over 2,300 students within those four academy wings. So you've got non-academy stasis 514 for a total of just under 2,900 students. We calculated our ratios for classrooms at a 1 to 30. You have a sliding scale on classroom capacity that can go up to 1 to 34. And then it obviously can go as low as you kind of can afford to have that student-teacher ratio. We calculated it 1 to 30 for high school. Our career and technical classes have a smaller capacity than that because you have to think about the things that they're doing. You're not going to have 30 students to one teacher in a welding class. Those classes would be much smaller based on what you're doing. So those can be anywhere from 1 to 20 to 1 to 25, depending on the course that they're teaching. Here's the overall site plan. As I showed you, you can see that footprint from, if you think back to that first slide where I showed you that aerial photo, that footprint is now in play on the site, which we're very excited about. If you look at this picture, everything that is darkened and colored in, so all of this site, that's all included in the $106 million that we have to build this building. The things that are out here highlighted and outlined in white, for like athletic facilities and things like that, we're starting that conversation. We began that conversation now. Our plan is to be able to have all of this on site when we open the building. Here's a room layout that's in the brochure that you have in front of you. This kind of shows you the academies and shows you the layout of the first floor and the second floor. One thing to note is it is a two-story building. However, the two-story building only occurs within the academies themselves. There is no adjoining walkways on the second stories. That was done intentionally. That's kind of a little bit of a safety aspect for us. Each academy, as you walk into them, have a front door and a secure vestibule at the head of each academy that you go into. So for us, we now have to think in a world where what ifs. So what if an active shooter were to get in this building? What if we had to deal with a tragedy? We're able to lock down academies singularly, and you cannot get from one academy to another without coming back into the main hallway. So in our eyes for safety, what that does for us is, if heaven forbid we had an event in this school, by the time someone could get from one academy to the other, we have SROs on site as well as response time from our local law enforcement, we would be able to minimize casualties and minimize the damage that was done. We have a main spine that runs the length of the building. And when you look at it in pictures, it looks big, but when you stand out there on that building pad, and I stand at one end by the Ag Academy, and I look to the other end of where, like, band and things like that are going to be, it's going to be a pretty good height. But it's exciting, and it's fun to see the progress that we've had. Here's just some of those renderings. Some of those are ones that we have up here to show you guys. That's the overall footprint. This is one of the side entrances that we would have. It would be one of the main entrances for staff coming in. This picture in the bottom left is the front, where the front office is. And this is in the back of the building where one of our student entrances would be. Again, we've closed on our bond September 7th. That was kind of the final day for us. September 15th was that groundbreaking. However, once the board approved the bond sale, we accepted all of those things. We got to work on this. So if you think from that September 15th, it was earlier that week is when Herring began actually moving dirt on the site, to now, we've come a long way. And it's very exciting for us to see and very exciting for what's happening. So I'm going to kind of turn this over to Miss Addison at this point, let her talk about what's happening inside the building. We invite you guys to drive by there. There's a lot of familiar faces here. You guys are more than welcome to reach out to me, and I'll be happy to take you out there and give you a tour. Or you can just show up and talk to the site supervisor, Steve. He's an interesting character, and he will give you a tour of the site and kind of show you where we're at. So I'm going to turn over to Miss Addison, let her talk about the instruction in the building.
Jason, good afternoon, you all. I think what's important to note, where his timeline started back in 2021, before we started talking about the physical model, we were talking about an instructional model. Because what we know, and what you may know, if you're a parent of a high school kid, or are young enough that you really clearly, vividly remember your own high school experience, High school education looks like it has for many, many years, and it's time for that to change and be transformed so that our graduates are more prepared for the world that they're entering into. And the mission of Cushing County Public Schools is to ensure meaningful learning experiences that empower all students to reach their fullest potential in a changing world. And we know right now what we have been doing traditionally in high school has not always been meaningful for all kids. When we get kids plugged into things that they're good at, that they're interested in, and we're really intentional about that, connecting them to work-based learning opportunities, our kids are much more equipped when they leave us to go out into the real world and be ready to be an adult and be a productive adult. But our current educational model that we've all experienced personally, it's time for that to change. And so as we were talking about that, knowing that a high school project was coming, whether it be one school, two schools, plus a Gateway Academy, what that was going to look like, is what are we going to do for kids when we build the building? What does that need to look like? And let's answer that and make sure that what we build supports that. What we know is that our high school students overwhelmingly ask to go to Gateway Academy. Gateway Academy is our career and tech ed center. Over 1,400 of our students go there. Every other day, we have 1,400 students come from Cushing County High School and Hopkinsville High School, get on a bus, and go to Gateway Academy to take career and tech ed classes of their choosing. And in those pathway classes, we see our kids very meaningfully engaged. We see very little disruptive behavior. We see very little discipline at Gateway. You know why? Because the students have selected those classes, they're interested in those classes, and that's what they want to learn about. And so as we were talking about a construction project, we wanted to make sure that we could leverage that we can make that available, and that really we can make it available to all. And so that's really where we began to talk about, you know, if we build one high school and we put Gateway under the same roof, then we don't have Hopkinsville High School students opting out of Gateway because they have to lose instructional time, they have to ride the bus across town, it takes them longer to get to Gateway. They may miss pep rallies and things like that. I mean, you all remember high school. There are some things about your high school experience you don't want to miss out on. And so some of our Hopkinsville High School students were opting out of Gateway, and that's the reason they were giving us, was we don't really want to leave our high school. If it was right here on our campus, we'd go, but we don't want to really leave our high school. The ones that have maxed us out. 1,400, I mean, we're maxed out. We've got two buildings now that Gateway operates under, and both buildings are full. We actually have to turn students away now from those opportunities because those classes are full. So I want you to hear about and get to see about, yes, we're excited about the building. Yes, we're excited about the walls going up. We're excited that our students are going to get to attend a high school they can be really proud of. And they're not going to go to any other community in the state and go, man, I wish our high school looked like this. Because they're going to have one here that they can be really proud of, and we're excited about that. But we're more excited about what's going to happen for them inside the building. This slide's a little bit out of order. The main gym is in the building plan, so just notice that that was on the floor plan that Dr. Wilson shared with you earlier. We're excited that that made it into the bidding process and part of that first phase of construction, so we're excited about that. Just a few renderings there. But what we're going to offer students instructionally is, we refer to that as the Career Academy model. As we began talking about meaningful learning for high school students, we talked about and compared to our own experiences. You think about your time in high school. I know some of the classes I took, they were fun, but they might not have been super meaningful for me. Okay? When I was scheduling my classes in high school, I think Dr. Wilson mentioned this too, we took a lot of advanced PE. Because, A, it was an elective that fit well on my schedule, but, you know, I'm not a coach, I'm not a professional athlete, I didn't make a living out of any of that. It was a good, I mean, I had a good time in there. I may have skipped a few times when no one was looking, but I had some filler classes in my schedule. I know, Mr. Green, don't tell me now, right? We sometimes had stuff on our schedule that really didn't help us get ready for adult life. And what our students told us over this process and what our parents and community members told us was, we've got to do a better job getting kids ready to be adults. And our kids were saying, there's things about life that I'm not learning in high school. Well, that happens when you take four advanced PE classes. You know, those were four opportunities that I could have probably taken something that was more meaningful. The Career Academy model is a model that we found as we were studying and talking about what could high school look like. What does high school look like in some places, in some communities that are being more progressive? And could we do that here? And so we visited some schools. We visited some career academies in Nashville, Lexington, virtually visited some in Minnesota and in other communities that we didn't physically go to, but we were able to virtually visit now that you can do that in the 21st century. And what we found out was this Career Academy model really was an example of all the things we were imagining for our students. It really checked all the boxes. And so we've partnered with Ford NGL. Ford NGL is Ford Next Generation Learning. It is the philanthropic arm of the Ford Motor Company. If you're familiar with the Henry Ford story, you know he was a huge proponent of education, an advocate for education. And so a large part of their philanthropic arm is Ford NGL. And what they do is they have academic consultants that help communities, because this is a community work, implement career academies in their high schools. And so they come to the community. They did this a couple years back. We had the Ford NGL team come and just assess our community. Could we do this? Would our community support this? Do we have the infrastructure in the community, you know, work-based learning opportunities to support this model? And they determined that we did, and so then we began our partnership with Ford NGL. We have coaches. Our main coach right now actually helped implement this same model in Nashville as an educator, and now she's on the consulting side working with communities like Knoxville, Tennessee. She also is currently partnering with a community in Scotland. So she shares her time between the communities that she's coaching, and we are one of those fortunate enough to have her. But that Career Academy model is structured in such a way that in their eighth grade year, students will begin doing some career exploration. They do some of that now. We'll beef that up a little bit more for this model. Then they go into their freshman year in a freshman academy. So one of these, this wing here on the rendering, this is our freshman academy. It's basically a duplicate first and second floor. All freshmen will spend the majority of their freshman year in that academy learning how to be high schoolers, learning how to manage their time, and navigate high school is different. Credits count. Grades count differently when you get to high school than they may have K-8. So teaching them how to be a successful high schooler. They also take a class in their freshman academy called Freshman Seminar, and that's where they do a lot of self-exploration, interest-based activities, skill-based activities, career expo. Sandra's working on our career expo now and may have talked to some of you about participating in that. But it's an opportunity for freshmen to really get an idea about the different opportunities there are once they leave high school, and to start thinking about what would it look like if I was an engineer? What does that look like on a daily basis? What if I wanted to go work at Pennyroyal Electric or AGS? What would that look like? That career expo helps, but there's a lot of opportunities for students to really kind of get to know themselves and their interests, and then what's available out there. What might I want to do? From that freshman year, at the end of that, they select. They indicate their preference for one of the other the career academies, and that career academy is where they will spend sophomore, junior, senior year. So if through all the work we did with them their freshman year, the exploration, the visits, the learning about who they are, they're like, you know, I think I'd like to kind of explore that idea of engineering. That's something that's pretty interesting to me. I got to visit that academy. I got to meet ambassadors from that academy who told me what they do on a daily basis. I think I could spend my time there. So they would request that academy. And instead of having to get on a bus and drive across the town to Gateway, they're going to go to the engineering academy here under their same high school campus. They're going to spend their sophomore, junior, and senior year in that engineering academy, where 60 to 70% of every day is in that wing of the building. They would have the same teachers 3 years in a row. They would have the same principal, the same counselor 3 years in a row. And the model really supports in that relationship of really that adult team, that team of educators really getting to know their group of kids, their academy group, 400 to 500 students in an academy, that we really get to know and spend time with them. We know that everyone in this academy is really interested in these things. Okay, so we're making a lot of connections. Their CTE class, their elective classes, are right across the hall from their core academic classes. And opportunities there for connections are huge. When we think about, I taught high school math. And when I taught high school math, I had 30 kids in my classroom, sometimes more, and they all had different interests, and I might not have known what they were until many, many weeks into the school year. I might have started figuring out who likes what. But if I'm teaching high school algebra in the engineering academy, I know that my kids have an interest, you know, that's something they're interested in. So what am I making connections to in my high school math class? Engineering. If I'm in the health science academy teaching nursing students, what am I making algebra connections to? Nursing, pharmacy, medical connections to the math that I'm teaching. Same with English, same with social studies, same with science. You can make those connections, and again, meaningful learning experiences. It's much more easily to create those if I know that the kids in my academy and my content classes are interested in similar things. It also allows us to provide a lot of extracurricular activities in those academies specialized to those career fields and career interests. People say, what if kids don't know? I know kids don't know. A lot of kids don't know. You know, a lot of adults still don't know what they want to be when they grow up, right? You still sometimes wonder. But this gives them an opportunity to at least make a selection about something they're interested in and spend some time there. Okay, so maybe I'm in the engineering academy. I get all my grad required classes. I take the dual credit classes that are also available to me. I take some AP courses. And when I graduate high school, I'm like, I enjoy my time there, but I've decided after all this, that's not what I want to do. I'll tell you, as a parent, I would rather my kid tell me before they go to college that they figured out they don't want to be an engineer than 3 years into college to tell me, hey, now that I've had a chance to learn a little bit more about it, I've changed my mind. Well, I would have liked for them to have an opportunity to figure that out sooner. If they get into an academy and they don't love it, they have the opportunity to change. We don't lock them in. They're not forced to stay in an academy they don't love. But what we have heard from students in these models and the schools that we visited, some told us they did change their academy. Some told us, I knew kind of going into my senior year I wasn't going to be an engineer, but I was learning good things. I was making good grades. I was getting to take the advanced coursework I wanted to take. And by then, I was really connected to my teachers and my students in that academy. So I finished in that academy, knowing that I was still going to graduate with honors, do what I needed to do, get the scholarships I wanted to get, and still be successful in life. So that's a counseling conversation that you have with a parent and a student at that time. If they want to change, there are options to do that. So that's essentially the career academy model that we are wanting to create for our students. We want every senior to be out working in some way. Not all day necessarily. They might take dual credit classes in the morning at HCC or at Murray State Regional, but they may be at work with one of you in the afternoons, practicing what they've been learning, practicing those life skills that we know are really important beyond just class work. How can they apply that in the real world? And again, that's another learning opportunity for them. It's also an opportunity for local employers and community businesses to kind of get some kids under their wing as they get going. I wanted to pause for just a minute and give Kylie and Devin a chance to talk just briefly about their academy, because right now they're both in an academy at Gateway, and so they can speak just briefly about their experience, and you can come on up here, just briefly about their experience as students in an academy and how that's been for them and how it's preparing them for life after high school.
Hi, I'm Kylie Batts. I am in the health science pathway at Gateway, and through that, I was able to pass my industry certification test last year by taking the NOCTI. I am CPR and first aid certified. I got that certification my sophomore year, and I will get that recertification at the end of this year. And I'm currently taking an EKG technician class where I will graduate with that, and I could go straight into the workforce through that opportunity.
Well, good evening again. My name is Devin Coleman, and I'm part of the teaching and learning pathway that was just created like recently, and I'm one of the people who started out with the program. So now I'm in my senior year, and now the opportunities that have been allowed, I'm able to go down and get my clinical hours observing. Like, for instance, now I go down to the middle school every Tuesday and Thursday to work with a group of middle schoolers and like help with a class with a teacher, and I'm able to, you know, apply for the Rover Scholarship to get that opportunity to be able to have my college paid for, but I have to come back here, which I would love to do to teach at this new wonderful school and have better opportunities for these kids you know, including, you know, I wish I had this opportunity. You know, I feel like it's going to be a better, you know, space and environment where they have different options and everything. So.
And Gateway, they have to get on a bus. They have to choose to do that. They have to leave their main campus to go do that. This opportunity gives it all to everyone under one roof, access for all, and that's what we're really excited about. In these pictures that you see, that's a standard science lab. Again, state-of-the-art space. Definitely looks different than the science labs that we have right now. Dr. Wilson mentioned each academy will have its own unique entrance. This is on this side over here on the right-hand side. That's just an example of what one of those entrances will look like. There's kind of a gathering space, social space. Students can also use it to, you know, sit down and finish up some work after school, things like that. But it's secure and locked off from the rest of the building. If you're not in that academy, students that are not in that academy would not be coming back and forth into that academy. It's really their special area to learn as a small learning community with inside the student population. And there's also an administrative office right there. So if a student's tardy or coming in late, they would have to go through the office. If it was during class time, those doors to that academy won't just be open. They would have to, hey, I'm late, I'm tardy, I was running late from wherever, check in at their admin office, and then go down to those instructional spaces there. So that's just a visual example of, I don't know where I'm supposed to be pointing at. There we go. I've already kind of hit on this just a little bit, but we want to not only give students options, and we want them, like our mission says, to reach their fullest potential, whatever that is. So like Kylie, they could get an industry cert and go straight into the workforce after high school, but we want them to be able to go into the workforce in a situation where they're going to be well paid, where they're going to be prepared, where they're going to be able to come to you ready to work and with some knowledge and some experience. We also want them to be prepared for the rigor of 2 and 4 year institutions of higher education if that's what they need to do to meet their fullest potential or to follow their dreams and pathways. For doing that, we've already begun to expand dual credit opportunities to our students. We have early college this year with HCC, and we're excited about our students that taken on that opportunity to graduate high school with a high school diploma and an associate's degree. It's aggressive. But we have students that can do it and want to do it, and other communities offer that to their students, and our students deserve what every other community offers their kids. Our kids deserve it as well. And so we see opportunities with Murray State Regional expanding, especially with our proximity to them, and are working on that now, planning for the future expansion of dual credit. We also want to expand our advanced placement offerings. You know, we know that the rigor of AP classes in many cases is what mimics and prepares students for college-level classes and college-level coursework. And so we're having those conversations now as well. We don't want to wait on the building to expand learning opportunities for students, so we're working on these things now. But I will tell you, it makes it easier when we're all under one roof, because sometimes it's hard to find AP-certified teachers in all areas, especially then to have them one at each high school. So being under one roof, if we can only find one AP geography teacher, we can offer it to all the students in our community because they're going to be in that one building. For courses like that, it would be possible that you would have to leave your academy to go to a central location for that AP class, but we can make it available to them easier under one roof. And then, of course, part of that enriched learning is continuing to expand our GT offerings and services for our high school students, but also all the way down to kindergarten as well. That's something we're working on K-12. Just like I've already hit on kind of the key points up there at the top, these are some examples of our career tech ed classroom spaces. Again, right across the hall from your math class, right across the hall from your English class, you're going to your culinary class. If that's your pathway, if you want to go into the culinary field when you graduate high school, here's an opportunity for you to practice that hands-on, apply your learning, prepare meals. We have culinary now. We have students that do a fabulous job. We order from them when we do events and things, and we have them do some work for us as well, and they're really amazing. This is an example of our engineering space, one of our engineering labs there, where students would, again, right across the hall from their spaces, instead of having to load a bus and miss instructional time, they'll just walk across the hall to that space. Work-based learning, I've mentioned as well. Again, we want our students all seniors. And right now, we have about how many seniors right now are in work-based learning? We just talked about this the other day. Close to 100. But we know that's not all seniors, not even close. And what we would like to see is in some way, whether it's co-op, whether it's job shadowing, whether it's an internship or an apprenticeship, we know our high school students are more prepared for adult life if they've had some opportunity to go work, okay? And some students need our help facilitating that. We'd also like it to be meaningful work, not just work at the, not that we don't need people working fast food restaurants because we all need them to get our food ready in time, but if they know they want to work in the health field, we want to get them partnered up with someone in the healthcare field and have that experience their senior year. Again, to say, yes, I love this, this is what I want to do, or I thought it's what I want to do, but now that I know more, I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. But it helps them make better decisions for the pathway that they want to take in life. Advisory councils are one more thing listed on here. Each academy will have advisory councils made of community partners that relate to those career fields. So as you might imagine, the Ag Business Group and Mr. Vinsel and Dr. Wilson spoke to recently will likely have representatives on the Ag Academy Advisory Council, where that workforce insight helps us as educators stay really in tune with what the offerings need to be. Remember, we talked about preparing them for a changing world. As workforce demands change, as local employment demands change, we need people from the community on those advisory councils to say, I know you're offering this pathway, but in the real world, we're beginning to phase that out. So can we find something like this to bring into that academy? Because that's really where this field is headed next. So to stay on the cutting edge and for our students to be in a workforce ready, we need to bring in a new pathway in the next year or two. That advisory council is how we do that and stay really in touch with what you all out in the community need our graduates to be prepared to do if they're going to come to you and be ready to work. Again, just a few more renderings here of the building, trying to give kind of an idea about the kind of place that our students are going to be able to learn in. Some of those are CTE spaces. You see our automotive lab down there at the bottom. That common space cafeteria right there with the skylight is really nice and bright and airy. And again, a place that we feel like our students will be proud to learn in. And that's important that you're excited to come to school every day. Sometimes it's hard to get high school kids excited to go to school. Anybody have that problem at home? But we hope this and the kind of learning and the kind of experiences they're going to get to have are going to change that. And like I said, when we talk to students like Kylie and Devin about their experience in the Career Academy, we just want all of our students to have that same kind of opportunity. So that's really the overview. I tried to go through it pretty quickly, but it is a lot to cover. But you all might have questions for me, Mr. Vinsel, Mr. Wilson, whoever.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any questions or comments for Christian County Public Schools team? Let's give them a round of applause.
It's